As I've said, we're delighted to have God's servant, our brother Mr. Jeff Hammond. He comes from our Martyrs congregation in Belfast. We had our sister Heather here last year. Isn't that amazing? A year, how quickly that has gone. And we're so thankful for God's grace. God's servant wasn't well. It was to be a double testimony that particular night, but he wasn't well. But he's better again, and he's going to come and testify of what Jesus Christ means to him. And then I will bring the meeting to a conclusion with a very short and brief gospel message. But God's servant is coming now to tell of what Jesus Christ means to him.
Thank you, Brother David, very much, even for his kind words of welcome. My timekeeping wouldn't really be the best most of the times, but I'm here a year late, but I'm here nonetheless, so it's good to be with you, each and every one. Thank you for coming along, and we pray that the Lord will bless even this word of testimony. And in sharing my testimony with you this evening, my desire is that, firstly, the Lord will be glorified, and then that Christ will be exalted. And if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, then I pray that the Lord will speak to you and that you will realize your need of salvation, that your need of Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And if you are saved here this evening, I pray that the Lord will challenge you, will stir you, and even provoke you to do something more for the Lord, even in the year that lies ahead. Now, to begin with, I was born over in England back in September 1978. Now, I don't really remember very much about those early years, but at the age of three, my parents separated, and my mum took my brother and I back home to her family home, which was a farm not too far away from here, between Ballachie and Castledawson. My dad then later on, he came back to live in Belfast, and remember, we would have gone down and we would have seen him at the weekends. Now, growing up on that farm, as well as my mum and my brother and I, there was also my uncle and also my granny. And looking back, I've many happy childhood memories. I'm thankful to the Lord for my mum, because when I think back, it wasn't easy for her during those days. But you know, we didn't want for anything, and so I'm thankful to the Lord for my mum. Now, growing up on a farmyard, we had plenty of space to run about, and my brother and I, we used to use that big yard there as a place where we played football. There was a garage there where we scored the goals, and we also played games like cricket, and whenever it came to that time of the year, whenever Wimbledon, you know, the tennis was on, we used to get baler twine, and we would have put baler twine all the way around the yard, and we would have marked out our own tennis court. And certainly looking back, we'd happy memories growing up. I went to primary school in Ballachie. In terms of church, we went along to the Presbyterian Church in Ballachie, went along to the Sunday school, and then also to BB then during the week. I remember hearing the Bible stories, and remember learning catechism questions. I remember learning the Ten Commandments as well. And I never doubted God's existence. It seemed very obvious from creation that there was a creator. But though I had a certain amount of head knowledge about the Bible, I didn't know God personally. I didn't know God personally. I wonder, is there someone here this evening, does that describe you? Perhaps you've come along to children's meeting or Sunday school or church services. Perhaps your parents are Christians, but and you perhaps know a certain amount of knowledge, head knowledge about the Bible, but do you know the Lord personally, yourself, as your Saviour? Going into secondary school years, after finishing primary school in Ballaghy, went to the Rainey in Macrofelt in September 1990, and that was the same year as our brother David. And that's how I got to know even your minister. Now, during my time at the Rainey, apart from doing any work, my life was really taken up with football. Hours on end, whether it was watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio or playing football, hours and hours spent on that. Other sports as well, listening to music and watching TV and computer games. That's really what, growing up then, that's really what my life really was, the focus on was really. And then moving into mid-teens, I remember becoming quite shy, and I remember at school, if you ever had to sort of, you know, speak out sort of in terms of public speaking or saying anything, you know, out in class, I remember that was something I didn't like doing. I remember it filled me with dread and fear, and I remember I really didn't like doing that. So the fact that I'm standing here this evening and sharing what the Lord has done for me, that bears witness to the fact of what the Lord has done in me and changed me. The fact that I'm standing here this evening bearing witness to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Remember it was Easter time, 1996. I remember my mum took us along to meetings which were held in the church in Ballaghy. Now, I can't remember what was spoken on at the time, but I do remember there was a particular verse of Scripture, and I don't know whether it was something, a verse that I read somewhere. Perhaps I'd seen a sign. Perhaps I'd read it in a gospel tract. Perhaps I'd heard someone say to me. But in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, we read these words. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, we read, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And those words were going through my mind. And I asked myself that question. What would it profit me if I gained the whole world and then my soul was lost? What would it profit me if I could get all that this world has to offer and then I died and went to hell forever? And the answer is obvious. It wouldn't profit me anything. Can I ask you this evening, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and then your soul was lost? I remember the last night of the meetings there, and I remember I was too afraid to speak to anyone concerning what I was thinking about. But I remember, as I was going out the door, I remember lifting a gospel leaflet, something like that. I think it was something like 4 steps to knowing God or something along those lines. And I remember I took that. I remember got into the car and we came home. And I remember we went into our sitting room. And I remember closing the door because I needed to be by myself. And I remember taking the gospel leaflet. And I remember reading through the gospel leaflet. I remember getting down on my knees and reading through it. And it was bringing out about the point about who God is and the fact that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I knew I'd sinned. I knew I'd broken God's law. I knew I'd disobeyed God. I'd told lies and been disobedient to my mum and so on. And I knew that I was in trouble because of my sin and that I deserved the wrath and judgment of God for my sin. But I also read about how that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I read of how that the Lord Jesus came to die for my sins, and that if I put my trust in him, that he would save me. And I remember praying and asking the Lord Jesus to forgive me and to save me. And I'm so thankful that he did. Can I ask you, are you saved here this evening? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Now, as I think back to that night, I really was so ignorant about what it was to be a Christian and how I was supposed to live for the Lord. I remember after that making the resolution that I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible a day, and I'm going to begin at Genesis, and I'm going to just read a chapter of the day all the way through until I finish it. Now, in hindsight, probably I should have started with maybe reading, say, Mark or John or something like that there. But that's the way it was at that time. I also made the mistake by treating my relationship with the Lord as something that was for myself, private. And it wasn't something that I confessed to others. And as a result, I ended up just fitting in with the crowd and really just doing what everyone else was doing. Now, after finishing school at the Rainey, I had planned to go to university over in Edinburgh. I wonder, have you ever had the experience, have you ever got like a cardboard box, and have you ever filled a cardboard box up, and then you've lifted up the cardboard box, and the bottom has come out of it, and all the stuff has come out through the bottom? Well, that's the feeling I had whenever I got the results from A-levels back, because I was exactly one grade below what I needed to get to go over to university in Edinburgh. And anyway, it went through the whatever the clearing process is, and I ended up then going to Belfast to do computer science then at Queen's. And I remember studied at Queen's there and then would have come home then at the weekends, would have gone to church on the Sunday morning, and then would have headed back then either in the Sunday evening or the Monday. But I remember when I wasn't studying and I wasn't home, I remember, doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, watching things I shouldn't have been watching, listening to music I shouldn't have been listening to, going places that I shouldn't have been going to. I wonder, is there perhaps someone here and perhaps you've got away from the Lord and you're not walking with the Lord? Well, you need to get right with the Lord. And the Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And the Lord brought me through circumstances during second and third year of university, which was to have quite an effect on my life. I remember it was one Friday afternoon, and I remember I was walking on the way to the bus centre to get the bus to head up back home here. And I remember meeting a couple of young people, and they asked me, was I a Christian? And I said, yes. And they said, would you like to come along to a Bible study? And I said, yeah. And I thought, yeah, this would be great. But I remember going along to meet up with them, this group. I remember also they would have phoned me every week, talk about follow-up. It was, I think certainly Christians could learn a thing or two from that. But I remember attending these Bible studies and remember them presenting verses to me. And the effect that had on me was to cause me to question what I really believed, to question my own relationship with God, and also to question the church and the teachings of the church that I attended. And I remember being quite down when I thought about those things, and this was over a period of time. And I remember my mum got quite worried about me, and she noticed a change really in my behaviour. And I remember she spoke to the minister, who was the minister of the church at the time in Balaki, and he ended up getting a booklet about what this group was that I was going along to. And I remember reading through that, and I made the decision, well, I'm not going to go back to that. And I remember going to the leader of that group, and I remember saying to him that I'm not going to be going back. And I remember his closing words to me before I left, and I believe it was an attempt to try to get me to change my mind, but he said, do you know that you're going to hell? So in other words, if I was leaving that particular group, not going back, do you realize you're going to hell? Well, that taught me an important lesson, that salvation is not in a church. Salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. But I remember going through that experience, and I remember feeling very confused. But I believe, looking back, that the Lord, in his sovereignty, used this experience to break my will. Because I remember struggling about it and thinking, Lord, I just want your will to be done. And the Lord also used that experience to expose sin that was in my life and cause me to realize how little I really knew about God's word. How little, and how that I needed to know the truth. I needed to know the truth. And remember, in November 1999, and this is how the Lord wonderfully guided. I remember in November 1999, I used to go out for runs in the evening times, and I would have ran sort of up Lisburn Road and cut through onto Malone Road and down and round past Shaftesbury Square, like a big loop round. And I remember it was towards the end of November 1999, and I was out for a run, and it was a Thursday evening, and I met some people I knew in Shaftesbury Square, and they were having an open air, and they were giving out tracts, and I remember stopping with them, and I recognized a couple of faces who I knew from school, and also from university as well. Brother David was one of them. Remember Jason Brown as well. And I remember getting talking to them, and remember them giving me a gospel tract, leaflet, and I remember going on. And then when it came to, I think it was the last Saturday, it was the Saturday immediately after that, in Macrofelt. And I had met with a friend in Macrofelt, and we'd gone to play snooker. And after we played snooker, we were heading round to a club there in Macrofelt. And who did we end up meeting again? Well, it was the youth, the Macrofelt, the Youth Fellowship outreach team who did that on the last Saturday of each month. And they were giving out tracts. And Brother David was there, and Jason. And I remember meeting them and getting into a good conversation. I remember being very challenged about how I was living. And how did I really stand before the Lord? And I remember being so challenged by that we didn't end up going into the club that night. And in fact, we just headed home. And then, I can't remember, I think it was David and Jason, they invited me to come along to church with them the next night. And we ended up going to Randallstown, Free Presbyterian Church. And I remember hearing preaching, which was very different from what I was used to, with a specific emphasis, a mention of the blood of Christ as the only means of cleansing of sin. And afterwards, I remember waiting behind, went into the counselling room, remember with Brother David went with me. I remember the minister at the time took me through Psalm 51 and showing me how that I needed to repent, showing me how the Lord would forgive my sins if I confess my sins to the Lord. And there's that lovely verse in Psalm 51 where it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And I remember we prayed that night. I remember praying and asking the Lord to forgive me and that the Lord would help me then to live for him. And praise God, that was a wonderful change happened in my life that night. I remember getting to the house where I was staying in Belfast. I remember phoned my mum and told her what had happened. And really, that was a big turning point. That's really when I really started to grow as a Christian. I remember we started up like a Bible study on the Monday night. Remember we would have went round to the house where David and some friends lived, and Dave and Jason, and remember we went through certainly a book of Exodus. We looked chapters in Exodus, and then of course we went to the prayer meeting at Tyndale on a Tuesday, and then I got involved in the Shaftesbury Square outreach on a Thursday night. And I remember on a Saturday then, I would have gone along then to the Youth Fellowship in Macrofelt, and then to church in Macrofelt on a Sunday night. I remember David would have come down and collected me and taken me to church. So I'm very thankful for that. And I remember also attending discipleship classes. And I remember as well, I used to have like a CD collection, worldly music and things. I remember one day the Lord really convicted me about that. I remember just taking all the CDs out to the garage, and I remember just smashing them and sticking them in the bin, because I wanted to praise the Lord. So the Lord has wonderfully changed my life. I can look back and I can share different experiences with you. I can think about a trip we had. See, Florence, I remember the trip we went to in Israel back, and that was back in July 2001. I remember then going on an outreach with the Youth Council to Convoy in August 2002. Now, it was after that then I left the Presbyterian Church, and again, thankful to Brother David for collecting me on a Sunday morning to take me up to church in Macrofelt. It was also through that Israel trip I met a couple of people who went along to like a city mission hall in Belfast, and I remember getting involved in that, you know, in terms of children's meeting, and it turns out that's where Heather went whenever she was growing up. And also, different things I can mention here about the Lord's leading and guiding in my life. I remember I was planning what to do in the summer of 2003, and I really wanted to do like a mission trip, and was thinking along the lines of, I know there's missionaries came to Macrofelt once Sunday night, the McCreadys, I think. You think about maybe go to Papua New Guinea maybe or something, and then some friends from Macrofelt had been going to the Philippines. So I ended up, well, I think the Philippines would be better for me because that was more evangelistic rather than, I think the Papua New Guinea one was more DIY type of thing, and that wouldn't be a strong point of mine. But one of the friends, Mark Linton, in fact, he said, okay, well, I'll give you the contact number for the person who's organizing the flights and all, and for the Philippines. And that was Heather's number then that he gave me. So that's how I got into contact with Heather. I remember would have gone along to a Saturday morning prayer meeting that Noel Stevenson had organized, but he'd left Heather sort of to organize it. While he was in the Philippines, Heather would have sort of just looked after that. So that's really how I got to know Heather then, through those Philippines trips and the Saturday morning prayer meeting. And then if there's a young person here and if you have an opportunity to go on a mission trip to a place like the Philippines or something, I would encourage you to go. It's a tremendous experience. It could transform and change your life and how you view things. I remember through those Saturday morning prayer meetings, finding out about children's work at Martyrs. I remember getting involved with that. And then friendship with Heather then further developed, and we ended up getting married in April 2009. The Lord has blessed us with two children, Joel and Eden. And I can testify to God's grace in my life. I can testify to God's goodness in my life. I can look back in specific examples where the Lord has answered prayer. I can share with you how that in times of sorrow, the Lord has provided comfort. In times of uncertainty, the Lord has provided guidance. Times of weakness, the Lord has provided necessary strength. And so I can testify that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So Heather and I have been involved in the work in Sandy Row, which is like an outreach of Martyrs. And we've been involved in that now for a number of years. And just really in closing, really I just want, for those of you who pray, and if the Lord just brings it to your mind to pray for that work, then really what I want to leave with you is something that we're involved in at the minute. And from September, we brought our Outreach Sunday School over to operate at the same time as the Martyrs' Evening Service. And so by doing that, we wanted to put the structure in place, not only to invite children along to Sunday School and church services, but also their parents and family members as well. And the Lord is blessed, and we're so thankful to the Lord that, you know, there's a couple of parents are now who would attend on a regular basis on a Sunday evening. You know, they would come along with their children, and we just pray that the Lord will bless and continue to build up that work. And also, we felt sort of over the years, the children were reaching a certain age, and then when they reached a certain age, then they stopped coming to Sunday School, and that was the contact lost. But what we want to do is have a structure in place where whenever the children, they get into secondary school age, we have a separate meeting for them. And there's a group of them, a really good bunch, there's about six or seven of them, and they would come along faithfully each Sunday evening. And we want to, over time, integrate them into the church services as well. And so if the Lord burdens your heart or brings that to your remembrance, certainly I would be very grateful if you would remember that work. And the Lord will bless even the work, even amongst the young people, as we seek to reach boys and girls, young people, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your time this evening. And I'll hand back to your brother David. Thank you.
Appreciate Jeff coming along and sharing his testimony. As I listened to it, I just thought about little things, the little things that God uses, a little gospel track, a little meeting along the side of the road, a little encouragement, just little things. If you think you can only do something little, but God can use that little thing, an amazing thing that he does, even in a person's life. And may, if you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, all testimonies do not need to be people who are sunk down deep into drugs and alcohol and paramilitaries. Individuals walking the clean side of the road, the broad road, need as much God's salvation as some individual who's gone deep into sin. Because soul sin is great sin. It is exceeding sinful in God's sight. And I trust that if you know not Christ, that tonight you'll come to know Jeff's Savior, his Lord and his Master. And if you've backslidden, grown cold in heart, that tonight God will have ministered to your soul, even through the word of testimony. Now it is brief tonight, but let's turn to the Song of Solomon, the chapter number 3, Song of Solomon, and the chapter number 3, just for a few moments. As we conclude the meeting, number of thoughts I want to draw your attention to. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. And we'll read the opening 5 verses. The Word of God says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until he had brought me into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless our brief time around thy word. Fill the preacher with the Holy Spirit, and use the testimony to challenge hearts. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The words and the statements that believers use to communicate their testimonies, they vary from person to person. No one testimony is the same as another. And certainly the way by which testimony is communicated is done so in different and varying ways. And yet I believe that the Christian, every Christian, if their sentiments could be boiled down into a single statement regarding their salvation experience, it would mirror the statement that we find in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, in the verse number 4. Reviewing God's saving work in their lives, every Christian would have to testify, "I have found him whom my soul loveth." It would be the testimony of every believer. Now, I'm aware that chiefly it is God who finds the sinner when it comes to salvation. Left to ourselves, we would live and die in our sin. Unregenerate sinners never seek after the Lord. We read that in the book of Psalms. "There is none that seeketh after the Lord." The seeking begins first on God's end. The Son of God would speak of his earthly ministry in these terms in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." However, there is a sense that the sinner does seek the Lord, But only after the Spirit of God begins to work within the soul of the unregenerate person. Verses that speak of that include those that we find in Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Or over there in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, where the prophet Jeremiah communicates to the people the words of God himself. When God says, "Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Having sought him in salvation, the Christian then comes to find the one whom their soul loveth. And really, in this particular statement, I believe there are three simple stages that set forth what it is to be brought to Christ, and what it is to seek after Christ, and what it is to be a Christian. And I want to just address you briefly on those three particular stages with regard to this gospel message this evening. I want you to see, first of all, this statement, "I have found him whom my soul loveth." I want you to notice that the statement alludes to someone who firstly seeks God, who seeks God. If the statement speaks about finding him whom their soul loveth, it must then stand to sense that there must first then be a seeking of him. There must be a seeking after him. That is seen to be the case in the opening verse of this particular chapter. Notice there that the one speaking says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." And then again he says, or she says, "I sought him, but I found him not." Having sought him close quarters within the home, the seeker then goes a little further afield and continues in the search. The verse number 2, "I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." And so we find here one who is seeking after one who loves them, who has set his own love upon them. This one is now seeking after him. He and first has set his love on them, and now they are seeking him. They are seeking to find him. They are seeking to become acquainted with him. Now the searches were initially fruitless, and yet those initial fruitless searches were in no way detrimental to the person in question's pursuit of the one now. It appears that the seeking is going to continue until the one sought for is eventually found. The fruitless searches did not put this one off from seeking after the one who loved her so dearly. Oh, that if you are an unsaved person yet in your sin, that your seeking after God would take on the nature of this one, seeking after the one who loved them here in the Song of Solomon. That your seeking God in salvation would take on the dogged persistence that this one came to exhibit as she looked for the one who was the lover of her soul. Maybe you have been seeking him, unknown to others. Maybe you sought for him in the gospel mission at the end of October 2022, but you found him not. Maybe you've, subsequent to the mission, you've come on a regular basis to the house of God, hoping that you would find him. Maybe in a family worship service, maybe in a gospel service, and as yet you still have not found him. But here you are, in the house of God again, the first Lord's Day of a new year, 2023. And we would say of you that you're a seeking one, seeking to find the Lord, seeking to find forgiveness, seeking to find assurance of where your soul would be in God's great eternity. Can I say to you, if you're seeking him, continue to do so until you find him. Continue to seek after God. Don't stop searching for him. God will encourage you to seek and ye shall find. Search for him with all your heart until you come to the assurance that he is your Savior, he is your Lord, and that he is your Master. Seek him as this woman sought after the lover of her soul. But this statement that we're thinking about carries another thought, because it alludes to someone who not only seeks him, the one who loves her, but now is the one who now finds him. She finds him. This is what she comes to say. I find him whom my soul loveth. While previous searches were fruitless, while many of them, all of them, had reached dead ends, that person persisted until they found the one whom they had fallen in love with. Verse number 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. And how, sinner, you need to get beyond the preacher. And you need to get beyond the hypocritical Christians. And you need to get beyond those who know not him, as this woman came to experience. It was but a little that, having passed by them who knew him not, she eventually found him whom her soul loveth. I fear that too many sinners are put off too easily in their quest to find forgiveness, pardon, and peace with God. The sinner for a while might seek after God and yet get distracted by other vain and sinful pursuits. That means that they never ever find him. Maybe I'm describing your situation tonight. For a time you warm to spiritual things. You attend the meetings on a more regular basis with greater regularity. You maybe pick up even your Bible at home, and you maybe try to read it and to understand it, but then something or someone else comes into your life that causes there to be a cooling off with regard to spiritual matters. I worry for an individual like you, sinner, because I fear that you'll never find him. You'll never find him. If you are to find the Lord, then you're going to have to set aside all other things and seek him until you can say with 100% assurance and confidence, I found him. I found him whom my soul loveth. I tell you, sinners, settle for nothing less than finding Christ. Because in finding him, you find forgiveness. In finding him, you find pardon. In finding him, you find peace. In finding him, you find assurance. In finding him, you find acceptance with God. In finding him, you find hope. In finding him, you find life. In finding him, you find joy. In finding him, you find all that you need. For time and for eternity, you find all that you've been trying to find elsewhere. Oh, that you would find him in this gospel service, in this place, for he's near. Lastly, this statement alludes to someone who loves him, seeks him, finds him, loves him. That's the order within the verse. I found him. That suggests that there was first a seeking, and then there is a finding, and then there is the loving. Seeking, finding, loving. I found him whom my soul loveth. And herein lies the acid test to the genuineness of any person's profession of faith. Do they love the Lord? Do they love the Lord? They love him with all their heart, their soul, their strength, and their mind. Let me ask you this evening, can you ascribe to the Lord the title, Him Whom My Soul Loveth? Can you say that about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? No, you can't say that about the Lord. You love yourself. You love some partner. You love your sin. You love your drugs and your drink and your immorality. You love your self-righteousness. You love your church. But do you love Him? Could you ascribe to God the title, Him Whom My Soul Loveth? I love Him with my soul. If you can't, then I say your profession of faith is simply that, a profession. The Christian is one who loves the Lord, and they love all the things about Him. They love not only the Lord, they love His word. And they love His house, and they love His people. And they love His presence, and they love His commandments, and they love His will, and they love His day. They love everything about Him, and everything associated with Him. When we come to experience God's saving power in our lives, then what happens is that we fall in love with Jesus Christ. You can say, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. I wonder, are you seeking the Savior? Whatever your case or circumstances are this evening, let me encourage you never to give up until you find Him. Find Him, you will. And find Him you must if you seek for Him with all your heart. What am I to do, preacher? If I am to find Him, well, you're to take to heart the counsel there that we find at the initial part of the verse number 2. Whenever the one who was seeking after the lover of her soul, she said, I will rise now. I will rise now. I'm not going to postpone it. I'm not going to put it off. But I'm going to rise now. I tell you, sinner, do not linger in your sin. Do not delay with regard to your seeking after the Lord. Do not postpone or procrastinate when it comes to this matter of salvation. But rise now. Rise from your slothfulness. Rise from your apathy. Rise from your spiritual indifference. Rise from your sin. Rise from your shame. Rise from your guilt. Rise. Rise now. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. Oh, there are with our blessed Savior, there are 10,000 charms. Rise up. And rise to Christ. Get to Calvary. Get to the cross where Jesus Christ demonstrated His love for us. And when you find Him, then hold Him. And then don't be afraid to acknowledge Him before others. Because she said that she brought him into the mother's house. Her brother Jeff spoke about this thought that he had about Christianity and salvation being a private matter. No. No, there is that willingness and that readiness to tell others within the family, the hardest place, to tell those within the family about the lover of the soul. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? We need to let others know in the language of this one that we have found Him whom our soul loveth. Is that your testimony concerning Jesus Christ tonight? If I was to boil down your testimony, would you be able, and would it be able to be said of you that you have found him whom your soul loveth? Have you found him? You're seeking him. You may not even know it, but you're seeking him. Oh, do not stop seeking until you find him. Then you'll be able to say like this one, I have found him whom my soul loveth. May God bring you to Christ. May you turn from sin and receive him into your heart and life even tonight. Begin 2023 a Christian ready for heaven. The Lord challenge your heart even through this brief word tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Can I say that if our brother Jeffrey or myself can help in any way, then please speak to us. Maybe you're a lady. You would like to speak to a Christian lady. There are Christian ladies here that you can speak to. My wife is here. Heather's here. There's elders' wives that are here. And so we encourage you to seek out help with regard to these matters. But ask yourself the question concerning Jesus Christ. Can I say this of him? I have found him. And my soul loveth, I found him. Well, may that be so as we conclude this meeting now in prayer. Loving, eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee that Jesus Christ is the lover of man's soul. And he publicly displayed that at the place called Calvary, where he suffered, bled, and died for our sins. And we rejoice in our Savior. And we bless thee that we have found him whom our soul loveth. We love thee, Lord, tonight, because thou hast first loved us. Oh, that others will fall in love with thee as they consider all that Jesus Christ has done for sinners in the gospel, and how he came and lived and died and rose again. Speak to young people in this meeting, those who are drifting. Oh God, bring them back. Lord, we pray that we leave this place, our souls rejoicing over what God has done among us. And so come and answer prayer. Save the lost, restore the fallen, and revive the church. We offer prayer in Jesus' wondrous name. Amen and amen. God bless.